So, have you ever been filling out an international shipping form, stared at that little box that says customs value, and just, well, kind of guessed a number?
Oh, I'm sure pretty much everyone has at some point.
Right. Or maybe you were sending, I don't know, a gift to a friend or a massive batch of promotional samples to a distributor overseas, and you just confidently type in this big fat $0.
Because technically they didn't pay for it.
Exactly. You're thinking, hey, it's free. But today we're pulling apart this really eye-opening compliance guide from Freightcom. It's called How to Avoid Undervaluation Issues on International Shipments 1.0. And it reveals why that quick guess or that $0 entry is actually a massive red flag.
Yeah, it's not just a harmless administrative shortcut. It's a direct trigger for a logistical nightmare that can completely paralyze your supply chain.
It's wild. Our mission today is to decode the hidden mechanics of global customs valuation. We're going to explore why a seemingly innocent typo or doing a quick favor for a customer can trigger these international shipping disasters and, how you can actually protect your shipments from being seized.
But really quickly, before we dig into the actual mechanics of why those entries trigger audits, we do need to set some parameters.
Oh, right, the disclaimer.
Yeah, gotta do it. We are exploring the nuances of this Freightcom guide and the concept of customs valuation, but everything we discuss here is strictly for general informational purposes.
So don't take this as legal or tax advice, basically.
Exactly. This does not constitute legal, tax, or customs advice. Shippers must absolutely always verify their specific requirements with the appropriate customs authorities or, certified trade professionals before they start moving goods across a border.
Perfectly said. Okay, so getting right into it, it seems like the entire concept of a customs violation stems from this huge disconnect between what a regular business owner considers value and what a border agent considers value.
Right, there's a big gap there.
So we need to establish the baseline. How does the global trade system actually calculate what something is worth?
Well, the first thing to know is that the global system isn't just this chaotic free-for-all where every single country makes up its own rules.
Okay.
It is highly, highly structured. It operates under this broad framework established by the World Trade Organization and the World Customs Organization.
The WTO and WCO.
Yeah. And the whole objective of that framework is to create a neutral, uniform system that entirely rejects arbitrary or fictitious values.
Meaning you can't just make up a number.
Right. You cannot rely on a number that simply feels right to you or, a number that conveniently minimizes your tax burden. The primary basis for customs value under this WTO system is something called the transaction value.
Okay, let's unpack this transaction value, because that sounds like jargon. In the
Yeah.
real world, for a high volume commercial shipper, what does that actually look like?
So for the vast majority of commercial shipments, the transaction value represents the price actually paid or payable for the goods when they were sold for export.
Paid or payable. So it's very literal.
Very literal. It is firmly grounded in commercial reality. The declared customs value absolutely must reflect what the buyer literally paid or entered into a contract to pay for those specific goods at that specific time.
Wait, okay, let me challenge up with this scenario.
Let's hear it.
Let's say I'm running this massive, aggressive end of season clearance for my e-commerce brand. I've got this high-end winter jacket that retails everywhere for $500.
Okay, nice jacket.
Right? But I need to clear out warehouse space. So a buyer in Europe uses a huge stack of promo codes and they end up paying exactly $100 for it.
Wow, good deal.
So when that jacket crosses the border, what is the value? Am I declaring the standard MSRP of $500 because that's the established market worth of the coat, or the $100 that actually changed hands?
You declare the $100.
Really, even though it's a $500 jacket?
Yes, because the customs authorities are not looking for a hypothetical retail price. They don't care about the manufacturer's suggested price or historical market value.
They just care about the actual money.
Exactly. They are looking exclusively at the commercial reality of that specific transaction. If the buyer paid $100, that is the transaction value. Assuming, of course, no other hidden adjustments are legally required, which we'll get into.
Right.
But yeah, the entire WTO framework is designed to tax the actual economic exchange that took place.
See, the rule itself is surprisingly straightforward then. Just declare what was paid.
It really is.
Which begs the question, if the foundation is that simple, why is undervaluation cited by Freightcom as such a widespread, persistent issue in global shipping? Why are people messing this up so much?
Well, because human nature and administrative complexity get in the way. Shippers just consistently fall into these procedural traps.
Mm.
And they often do it under the guise of providing good customer service.
Oh.
Yeah, the most prevalent one is what we can call the favor trap.
Right, okay. The classic customer email. I've seen this. A buyer in a country with notoriously high import duties reaches out and says, hey, when you generate the commercial invoice, can you declare the value at $20 instead of $200 so I don't get hammered by customs taxes when it's delivered?
Exactly. And the shipper, you know, they want to secure a repeat customer. They want to be helpful.
Yeah, they want 5 stars on the review.
Right. So they intentionally undervalue the goods on the paperwork to help the receiver bypass duties or value-added tax or brokerage charges.
Okay, we need to be unequivocally clear about this to everyone listening. Reducing the value of a shipment at a customer's request is falsifying a legal trade document.
Yes, it is illegal.
And as the guide outlines, the liability for that falsification does not fall on the buyer who sent you the email begging for a discount. It falls entirely on the shipper who printed the label.
100%. Intentional favors are incredibly risky. But, you know, they aren't the only pitfall. There's also this massive administrative misunderstanding that happens when goods cross a border without a traditional sale taking place.
Ah,
this is what we can call the $0 delusion.
Like the gift or promotional scenario I mentioned earlier.
Exactly. Supply chain managers frequently list a $0 or like a $1 token value for bulk samples or warranty replacement parts or promotional displays.
Because they're just thinking, well, the client didn't pay for this warranty part, so its transaction value today is zero.
Right, the logic seems totally sound internally. But customs authorities forcefully reject that logic.
Do they really?
Oh, yeah. The guide actually highlights the Canada Border Services Agency, or CBSA. They explicitly dictate that a value for duty must be declared for all goods imported into Canada, including goods received completely free of charge.
Okay, to put that into perspective for you guys listening, imagine a vendor takes you out to an incredibly high-end steakhouse to secure a contract, right? And they comp the entire meal.
Best kind of meal.
Right, it's totally free to you. But just because you didn't swipe a credit card doesn't mean that dry-aged ribeye suddenly has a real-world value of $0.
No, of course not.
It still required agricultural resources, logistics to transport the meat, labor to cook it. So to a border agent, that free warranty part still holds intrinsic commercial value, regardless of whether a direct invoice was generated for that specific shipment.
That analogy perfectly captures the customs mindset, honestly. And the CBSA goes a step further, noting that even if an item is totally exempt from duties, meaning the tax rate on it is 0%.
Wait, really? Even if there's no tax?
Yeah, even if the tax is zero, an accurate commercial value is still legally required because that number supports national tax assessment and macroeconomic trade statistics.
Oh, wow. Okay, that completely changes the context of the customs form. They're using your declared value to calculate the national trade deficit and drive broad economic policy, not just to tax your single box of samples.
Exactly. It's a data gathering tool as much as a taxation tool.
Mm-hmm.
And this actually brings us to another critical error regarding base value.
What's that?
Confusing the manufacturing cost with the selling price.
Oh, I can see how that happened.
Yeah. The CBSA defines price paid or payable as all payments made directly or indirectly for the goods by the purchaser to the vendor. But businesses often manufacture a component for, say, $10.
Okay.
They sell it B2B for $50, but they mistakenly declare $10 on the export documents because they view the value as their internal cost of goods sold.
But the commercial reality of the transaction, the actual economic exchange crossing the border, is the $50 the buyer agreed to pay.
Exactly. The proper starting point for commercial shipments is always the negotiated price between the buyer and the seller. It is never the cost to manufacture the item on the factory floor.
Right. So what does this all mean? It means identifying the correct base transaction price is merely the first hurdle. Because the FreightCom guide illustrates that even if your base price is flawlessly accurate, the surrounding paper trail can inadvertently trigger an undervaluation flag.
This is where it gets really tricky.
Let's look at the mechanics of the discrepancy problem. The text highlights a scenario where a commercial invoice states a value of $48, but the buyer's proof of payment, like their actual credit card receipt, shows $75.
What's fascinating here is how rapidly modern logistics networks identify these specific discrepancies.
Like it's automated.
Pretty much. If a customs authority, or even just the carrier's internal brokerage team, detects a mismatch between the commercial invoice and the proof of payment, that shipment is instantly flagged as undervalued.
And authorities routinely cross-reference this documentation. Like, they have the legal mandate to pull waybills, commercial invoices, order records, and they regularly demand the actual bank statement from the importer to verify the transaction.
Yeah, they don't just take your word for it.
If those numbers do not reconcile down to the cent, the audit begins. But I guess my question is, how does a discrepancy like that happen innocently? If the product costs $48, shouldn't the receipt match?
Well, this raises a really important question about hidden inclusions, which shippers just constantly overlook.
Hidden inclusions?
Yeah, the invoice price isn't just the physical object. U.S. Customs and Border Protection, or CBP, they enforce really strict regulations regarding this. The guide actually cites 19 CFR 141.86.
Okay, that sounds like a serious regulation.
It is. It mandates highly detailed itemizations of costs that are often baked into the final purchase price, but left off the customs form entirely.
Right. So 19 CFR 141.86 requires the breakdown of freight costs, insurance, commissions, and packing costs.
Exactly.
Which brings us to Incoterms. And just to clarify for anyone rusty on their shipping jargon, Incoterms, or international commercial terms, are the standardized trade rules that dictate exactly who pays for the shipping, the insurance, and the packaging at every single step of the journey.
Crucial stuff.
So wait, if I buy specialized heavy-duty crating to ship, like volatile lithium batteries, safely, the cost of that crating has to be factored into the customs value.
Depending on the specific Incoterms negotiated for that sale, yes.
Really?
Yeah. If the buyer paid for those specialized packing materials as part of acquiring the goods, that payment is part of the commercial reality of the transaction.
Oh, man.
So if you omit those packing charges on the commercial invoice, but the buyer's credit card receipt shows a total that includes them, you have created a paper trail discrepancy. And to a border agent, that looks exactly like intentional tax evasion.
Even if it was just an honest mistake.
Exactly. They don't know your intent.
Now, here's where it gets really interesting. The guide addresses a practice that a lot of high-volume sellers treat as this, like, clever logistical strategy. Order splitting.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
So let's say a buyer in Europe purchases $1,000 worth of inventory. The shipper knows the destination country has a de minimis threshold.
Right, which is a value limit where anything below it enters duty-free.
Exactly. So to bypass the taxes on the $1,000 order, the shipper divides the inventory into four separate boxes, values each one at $250, and just ships them on consecutive days.
Clever, right?
The Freightcom guide is absolutely unequivocal on this practice. Citing a valuation checklist from UPS, it explicitly warns that splitting orders to artificially create lower customs values and bypass duty thresholds is a severe legal violation.
Wow. So the authorities treat dividing the shipment to avoid the de minimis limit with the exact same severity as, like, literally crossing out a price and writing in a fake number.
Legally, they are identical offenses.
That is wild.
Yeah, both are deliberate manipulations of the transaction value designed to bypass the accurate assessment of duties and taxes. Both trigger the exact same enforcement actions.
Okay, given that, let's actually trace the fallout. When Customs spots the mismatch between the invoice and the receipt, or they catch you doing an order splitting scheme, what physically happens to that cargo sitting in a border facility? The outcomes cascade and the financial impact compounds daily. I mean, the immediate result is a clearance delay. The shipment is placed on a formal hold.
Meaning your client's supply chain is just abruptly halted, and the tracking page just shows the cargo frozen at a port of entry.
Right. Your customer is furious. And from there, authorities often initiate a physical inspection of the cargo to verify the contents against the paperwork.
Oh, so they're opening boxes.
Opening boxes, checking serial numbers, everything. Then they will calculate corrected duties based on what they determine the true market value to be. And the shipper is then hit with administrative brokerage fees for the manual labor required to rewrite the entry.
Of course.
Plus demurrage.
Demurrage. Those are the storage fees, right?
Exactly. Steep daily storage charges for the time the cargo occupied space in a secure customs facility during the investigation.
I've heard demurrage fees can easily wipe out the profit margin of an entire production run if a hold drags on for weeks.
Oh, easily. It can bankrupt small operations.
But beyond the government penalties, what about the shipping carrier itself? Like, if I make an administrative error, won't my freight provider, UPS, FedEx, whoever, won't they just amend the paperwork to keep the network moving and, like, bill me later?
No. Relying on the carrier to fix your compliance errors is a disastrous strategy.
Really? They won't just handle it?
Absolutely not. Carrier guidelines explicitly state that the customer, meaning the shipper who generated the label, is entirely responsible for the authenticity, accuracy, and completeness of the customs information.
Wow.
Carriers utterly refuse to absorb the liability of guessing your transaction values.
So they place the legal burden entirely on your business.
They do. If a shipment is flagged, carriers reserve the right to demand the original proof of payment from you to satisfy customs. And more importantly, if valuation discrepancies become a pattern, carriers will review and outright suspend your shipping account.
Seriously, they'll just cut you off.
Yeah, they can freeze your ability to move any freight whatsoever until you implement corrective action.
That's terrifying. Having your carrier account suspended means your distribution network is paralyzed. You literally cannot fulfill orders.
You're dead in the water.
Given that carriers will suspend an account for these discrepancies, the obvious question is, how does a high-volume shipper physically prevent this when they're processing thousands of international orders every single day?
Right, and this is where the FreightCom customer compliance checklist becomes critical. It acts as an internal operational safeguard before a label is ever generated.
Okay, what's on the checklist?
The foundational step is pulling the paid order value directly from the marketplace or invoicing software via API or direct integration.
Oh, I see. So you eliminate human memory and manual estimation from the process entirely.
Exactly. Nobody is typing in numbers by hand. The checklist also emphasizes confirming the value by individual item, rather than just declaring the total shipment value.
Which makes sense because customs authorities assess duties based on harmonized system or HS codes.
Precisely. The HS code is a standardized numerical method of classifying traded products globally.
So like a shipment might contain commercial laptops and basic cotton textiles.
Right. And those two commodities carry wildly different tariff rates. If a shipper simply declares a bulk total of say $10,000,
yeah,
the customs agent has no mechanism to apply the heavy tax to the laptops and the lighter tax to the textiles. The valuation absolutely must be itemized to match the specific HS code.
I also noticed the checklist's strict warning against vague product descriptions, like writing parts or samples or merchandise on an invoice.
Oh, that's a huge red flag.
Right, because if a customs agent is processing thousands of manifests a day and they see a pallet generically labeled parts, they have literally no way of knowing if those are parts for a commercial blender or parts for an aerospace guidance system.
And they're not going to guess. Vague descriptions are an automatic trigger for a physical inspection. The anatomy of a compliant commercial invoice requires granular, indisputable detail.
So what does a perfect invoice look like?
It demands complete seller and buyer information, very specific product descriptions, and clear differentiation between the unit value, you know, the cost of a single item, and the total extended value of the load.
And crucially, declaring the exact currency used in the transaction. I feel like people forget that all the time.
The currency declaration is vital because global exchange rates fluctuate by the minute.
Yeah.
A customs agent calculates the exact tax burden in their local currency at the precise moment of import. If you just list 1,000 without specifying it's US dollars or euros or yen, the valuation is mathematically impossible to process.
That makes total sense.
Furthermore, you must declare the specific country of origin for every single item.
Which is incredibly important to highlight because country of origin means where the item was actually manufactured, not just the warehouse it shipped from.
Exactly. It's not where it was put in a box.
Right. Global trade policies, anti-dumping laws, and free trade agreements like the USMCA, they rely entirely on the manufacturing origin to determine if a protective tariff applies.
If we connect all this to the bigger picture, rigorously applying this checklist does far more than just appease a border agent.
Right. It's not just about the government.
Exactly. It actively protects the integrity of your customer experience. Flawless paperwork prevents cargo from being held hostage in a warehouse, accruing demurrage fees. It prevents your overseas distributor from receiving a surprise invoice for corrected duties.
Which invariably leads to chargebacks, broken contracts, and severed business relationships.
Exactly. It's about taking total control of the compliance narrative before the freight ever leaves your dock.
I love that phrase, the compliance narrative. The core takeaway from this FreightCom guide is that accurate customs valuation really is the invisible infrastructure of global commerce. Whether you are shipping B2B manufacturing components or fulfilling international direct-to-consumer orders, the declared value must perfectly mirror your financial records and reflect the true, unadjusted transaction value.
And exceptions.
You cannot estimate, you cannot use token place layers, and you absolutely cannot falsify a legal document to do a buyer a favor.
And look, when complex scenarios arise, shippers should never guess. The industry provides extensive official resources.
Where should people go if they're confused?
Businesses must consult the CBSA Customs Valuation Handbook, the CBP Commercial Invoice Guidelines, resources from the European Commission, or, and this is usually the best route, engage directly with a licensed customs broker who has the legal authority to navigate these frameworks on your behalf.
Fantastic advice. So we've spent this time breaking down the massive manual paper trail, you know, the commercial invoices, the way bills, the cross-reference credit card receipts required today to prove your transaction's validity to a human border agent. But I want to leave you with something to think about. Consider where this entire system is heading.
Oh, this is fascinating.
Right. As global supply chains become fully digitized and customs authorities rapidly deploy AI infrastructure capable of instantly cross-referencing international banking ledgers with carrier manifests, how long will it be before the physical act of declaring a value becomes entirely obsolete?
It's coming faster than people think.
In the very near future, border agents won't need your commercial invoice to know what you paid, because they will have already analyzed the transaction the exact second the money changed hands. Think about that next time you go to type in a number.